Hello, good evening, and welcome to Seascapes. On tonight's programme, where to buy your fish during this time of lockdown and crisis, and we'd hear from the Sea Fisheries Protection Agency on their work to protect Irish fish stocks. Irish trawlers are continuing to fish during the crisis, and with little fish being exported at the moment, the range and the prices available in your local fish shop are second to none. Many shops are now doing deliveries, and I went to one supplier in Dublin where they've completely changed their whole business model to deal with the new challenges. Sustainable Seafood Ireland is owned by Niall Sabongi.
I suppose I'm a chef restaurateur, originally, in Claw and Seafood Cafe, both in Dublin. And then a few years ago, I kind of branched out into the wholesale business. I kind of wanted better fish and to get closer to the boats and closer to the fishermen to understand the products more. So we opened Sustainable Seafood Ireland in 2013 with the purpose of doing exactly that and also trying to build a company that can be sustainable for fisheries into the future.
We're here in your warehouse in North Dublin. Just tell me a bit about how your business operates, because you work with specific trawlers.
Yeah, so I suppose, well, this business was always, up until the crisis, was strictly just for hotels and restaurants, kind of all the Michelin restaurants around Ireland and that kind of level. When everything closed down overnight, we had no choice but to kind of, you know, we think about where we are. Initially, it was I had a huge amount of stock in the fridges that I needed to get rid of. So we decided over a couple of glasses of wine late at night that I'd open the place the following day to the public. I just put it on Instagram and Twitter and see who came in. So we kind of changed the business around to start selling directly to the public, you know, 2 days a week, where they actually come into the actual market themselves. And, you know, as you can see, kind of go through all the different fish and species that were there. And then with the boats, yeah, so we work with like 5-6 boats all year round, and then we also use, you know, Castledown Bear Co-op, and you know, get loads of fish out of the co-op, so open Kilkeel as well, and all around the country. But the boats that we fish with, we're still fishing with them now. We use them all year. So at the moment, what they're doing is they're kind of taking little breaks in between, so they all get to go fishing for a day or two. They come land to us. We hopefully sell all their fish, and then the next guy will go out for a day or two and kind of rotate it like that.
I've noticed from your website and your social media feed that you put out photographs and maps, tracks of where your own trawlers, not your own trawlers, but the trawlers you work with are.
Absolutely. I mean, it's great. It's all part of that link, you know, people actually see, you know, we're so used to seeing a picture of a farmer next to a steak, and we're so used to, you know, seeing the growers, you know, and being familiar with them, whereas the fishermen, we don't really. So I think that link's really important, that you know that they're just out in the Irish Sea, they're coming in tonight, you know, that big pile of Dun Bay prawns were just caught off, you know, great local boat in Howth that fishes prawns all year. So I think that link's really important. And
what are you selling here this morning?
This morning we have a huge array of fish here this morning. So there's two boats out here at the moment. So the Johnny G, which is based up in Kilmore. It's a very small, really pretty little yellow boat. You'll see it on our social media. So Mikey's out with his son Johnny on it at the moment. They landed to us 2 days ago as well. So we've got everything there from, you know, there's cod, there's haddock, there's brill, there's John Dory, there's red mullet, there's plaice, there's megrim, there's black sole, there's, you know, pollock, whiting, you know, Dun Bay prawns, crab claws, big spider crabs, blue lobsters, brown crabs, you know, the list goes on. We're so lucky, you know, to be on an island. We've such an array of seafood available to us. Unfortunately, most of the time we only ever see the same, you know, the hake and the cod, you know, and the haddock, which are great, beautiful fish. But, you know, when you've got, like, you know, 10, 12 other amazing species there, that's what, you know, if we all really want to be sustainable, that's what we need to start doing, is, you know, eating outside the, you know, the four main species and eating, you know, lower down the trophic scale, as they call it.
I see you're processing here as well yourself.
Yeah, we process everything ourselves, so we buy everything else, everything in round and whole, and then we process and break everything down here ourselves. It's great because it also gives us the advantage to get all the kind of lesser known cuts. As you look down along there, you'll see the likes of monk cheeks, or you'll see ray cheeks and ray backs, and, you know, collars and wings off fish that are usually just discarded. But you know, the rest of the world, especially the States and Asia, we really kind of, you know, cherish those cuts, and we try to give them pride of place here as well.
I also noticed that you said you're able to sell things at the moment because of the crisis that would normally almost all be exported.
Yeah, so, like, most of our fish gets exported. You know, we've quite a large fleet in Ireland, more than the domestic market would require. So a lot of us build for export. But you'll see things, you know, at the moment, lobsters, you know, because they can't export it, they can't get the price for it. So, you know, they're still fishing and we're still buying it. But it means that we can offer it to the public at a, you know, really affordable price, which means it's selling. So now, you know, on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the average Joe Soap can have lobster or have spider crab and, you know, not let it be an extravagant event. It shouldn't be an extravagant event. You know, I don't know, I've said it about three times now, but we're an island. Like, we should be able to enjoy all these things, like, you know, our counterparts in, you know, say across the Atlantic in Canada and the States, where they can eat lobster, you know, and it's not a big deal. It should be the same here. So yeah, so lobster, for example, is usually, you know, obviously we can always get lobster here, but it's very expensive. It's very affordable at the moment. The likes of spider crab. So we're selling two for 24 euros. So, you know, two 600 gram lobsters for 24 euros. It's hard to beat. You know, it's kind of end of summer prices that you normally get for a week or two at the end of summer. But now we're in spring and we've kind of got that price now for the next couple of months anyway, until the Asian markets and things pick back up. But things like spider crab, you know, great product. And people just don't even believe that it's Irish when they see it, because, you know, it looks so alien to us. But these are from, you know, some of the ones in this tank here are from Wexford. The ones over there are from Kerry. And they're delicious, and they're, you know, super cheap, really affordable, you know, and stunning, you know. And if you go to Portugal or Spain, you know, they're really, really highly prized. So it's great just to see them, you know, Irish people trying it, and, you know.
How's business going for you?
Yeah, look, it's not even a fifth of what our previous business was, but we started to do nationwide delivery. So, you know, online, people can order online. It's all contactless. We have a transport partner that do all of our distribution for us. So that's picked up really well. It's great. And people are able to order what they want and they get it delivered, you know, nice and cold in a lovely little, you know, 100% biodegradable box to their front door the next day. So it's great in times like this. So that's going well, and it's building, it's getting strong. But again, it's learning a whole new business model compared to what it was before. The market's great, though. You know, we're open 2 days a week here on Wednesdays and Saturdays. That's great because people get to come in and they get to physically see the fish and they get to have chats, with the fishmongers about the fish, about the where it was caught, who caught it, but then also recipes. And
how do people contact you? How do you make an order?
Sustainableseafood.ie. Simple. Just pop on there and just go shopping. We've tried to make it into like a real virtual fishmonger. So there's a little chat box at the bottom of it. If you want to talk to me or one of the fishmongers, just jump in and ask whatever questions you like. And it's all there. You just check out like you do, pop it all into your little shopping trolley, and we'll select it for you the following morning and deliver it to you.
And as Niall said, they do deliveries, but they also have a market open tomorrow morning from 11 o'clock. It's in their warehouse, which is in an industrial estate between Whitehall and the airport. It's tricky enough to find. The best way to get there is to put the address into your Google Maps. But also check out your local fishmonger. What's available at the moment is really spectacular. The Sea Fisheries Protection Agency is an independent body which oversees fishing regulations and seafood safety in Ireland. In 2018, the SFPA carried out a total of 1,922 inspections on trawlers. Of these, 1,600 were on Irish vessels, and the next nearest amount of inspections carried out in that year was 96 on French-owned vessels. In 2019, there were 2,222 inspections, with 1,800 of those carried out on Irish vessels, and again, the next nearest number being on French, with 147. The SFPA say the introduction of an enhanced risk analysis system in 2018 and the recruitment of additional sea fisheries protection officers led to the jump in inspections between those 2 years. Their work usually involves completing physical inspections on all fishing vessels landing in Irish ports. But with the social distancing restrictions, they say it's not possible to complete physical checks in enclosed spaces at the moment. Noel Sweeney met the SFPA's chair and CEO, Susan Steele, and Adrienne Patterson, who's director of port operations, to discuss inspections and the challenges presented by COVID-19.
My name is Susan Steele, and I am chair and CEO of the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority. So we're based in Clonakilty in West Cork, but cover the whole of Ireland.
My name is Adrienne Patterson. I'm Director of Port Operations, and like Susan, I'm also based in Clonakilty, and I look after all of the ports that are around the country.
And how have your positions evolved since COVID?
I guess for us it's pretty much been business as usual. While we've had to change our operational practices, we're still maintaining our main operational function, which is inspecting vessels, ensuring that the seafood that is produced is of a safe and good quality for export.
COVID-19, I think none of us, when it first started in Wuhan, saw it coming. We were very lucky in the SFPA. We run a very strict risk register and we constantly look at our business practices. So for us, we were set up and geared up that everybody had laptops and we were able to move to remote working without any glitch. It actually feels like we've worked this way forever.
And yeah. What kind of physical inspections are in place at the moment? Because we know there was a letter from the European Commission was delivered to the government highlighting their concerns about the lack of physical inspections by the SFPA on vessels that land in the ports.
We would have I think Adrienne will go through the figures with you of what we've done, but we've gone back to the Commission saying actually we're really, really proud of what the SFPA have done.
What have you done?
Yeah, 483 physical inspections. So I'll hand on to Adrienne. It's a huge number of inspections.
Physical inspections, they're happening on some ports, not all. So why do you choose certain ports over other ports?
So since the COVID-19 outbreak, what we have done is that we've actually stopped our officers from boarding vessels upon landing, purely from a physical distancing point of view. We feel that it would be too social distancing would be too difficult to maintain in tight holds where you're trying to check what fish is on board, and in the holds where you're also going to have maybe two fishery officers and 1 to 2 crew members. 2 meters just would not be possible. As well as that, it would be difficult to maintain that in the wheelhouse where you've got a lot of equipment and you have a master and maybe another person as well as the two fishery officers. So for the present time, we've ceased those boarding inspections, but we have undertaken an awful lot of inspections on the quayside, whereby we're watching the fish coming off the vessels, checking the number of boxes, checking the species in the boxes, doing random weighing of the boxes. And of course, this is after all of the pre-landing inspections have been undertaken, so the VMS has been checked. The logbooks on board have been remotely checked.
What's the VMS is for?
The vessel monitoring system, so we're able to see where the vessel is and where he has recorded he was when he was fishing, is where he was when the satellite pinged his position. So we're able to do all of those checks, and they would have been standard checks before COVID-19. So the only difference really is that we're no longer going on board the vessel purely to protect our officers, as well as the crew and other members of the public that we'd come into contact with.
If we go back to pre-COVID times, and I know this isn't the first time you've heard this, most fishermen I've spoken to from all around the coast will often say that within view there can be vessels from Spain, France, Italy and so on, yet the SFPA will always inspect the Irish vessels without ever even taking a look at the foreign vessels.
It depends where people are, and you hear lots of things anecdotally, but what we can just show you is what the figures are of inspections. So the figures are inspections, and how does an inspector make that choice? Because as you say, you come onto a pier, you can have an Irish vessel, a French vessel, a Spanish vessel, you have to pick who to inspect. So the inspection is picked by a central system that's developed with a risk listing. So that's how it's done. And
what kind of risks are on those lists?
The things that might put you on a risk listing can be behaviours in the past. It can be if you didn't hail coming in. So if you've had minor infringements in the past, then you're more likely to be inspected in the future.
Okay, what kind of reprimands might be against an Irish vessel versus some of the reprimands that have come up against some of the foreign vessels?
The court system in Ireland is the only way. We don't have, in other European countries they have a points system, we don't have one here. So the courts is the only way, and the cases can take quite a while. The cases...
Upon inspection, what are you looking for in an Irish vessel versus a Spanish, French or Dutch vessel or something like that?
You'd be looking, so when people go on board and they're looking, you're making sure that they comply with the community fisheries law. So you're making sure that what they've entered in their logbook is what they've got on board, that they have...
And do you check the logbooks and the holds of all the vessels?
You would go through, the inspection is actually set out as well. So there's an actual standard inspection that's followed and that people go through. So what they'll do is they'll go on board, have a look, go through the whole of the inspection. And
on Spanish vessels?
Always. It's no more so as someone who comes from Ireland, we want to be looking at every single person. And we really work as hard as we possibly can to make sure that we maintain that.
Some Spanish gillnet fishermen might use gill nets that are designed to catch the smaller fish like pencil, hake and that kind of stuff. That's legal in the Bay of Biscay but illegal in the Irish waters. What have you done to make sure that they're not bringing those gill nets into Irish waters?
Checks on gear are undertaken at sea, so they would be undertaken by the Naval Patrol. We would also do random checks ashore if they come in with their gear. But most of the time they have their gear set at sea before coming to shore.
Is there a favouritism of foreign vessels over Irish vessels in terms of 100%, inspections?
Yeah, 100% not. So there is a fair system and we put everything that we can do to make sure that it's fair. We also try to make it transparent. So if there is a skipper or vessel owner who wants to see how come I'm being inspected, how come I'm high up on the risk rating, we encourage them to talk to us.
The Irish fishermen in particular, their market is basically, it's very minuscule. Irish fishermen are basically selling a kilo of brown crab now for like 50 cent a kilo to the Irish suppliers. Those stocks are going into freezing holes.
Everything is changing because of COVID-19, and unfortunately we can't see an end coming soon. So what we've done is we've come up with a way that of giving them the legislation, making it very, very easy to understand of how you sell directly. So that has been published on our website and is available. So if there are fishermen who are having to look at new markets and new avenues of selling their fish, that information is up on the SFPA's website. The SFPA is very unusual throughout Europe. So within Europe, a lot of the regulators, they only look after fisheries or they only look after food safety or they only look after trade. In Ireland, the SFPA covers all of those roles for the seafood industry. So one of the things of making sure on it is we carry out the inspections on the seafood premises as well. So we can, when we're going in to do those inspections, we can make sure that the guidelines are being followed for COVID-19.
What are you looking for?
They will be looking to check that everything is being maintained up to the food safety legislation and that any of the government's guidelines that are in place are in there.
Is there a specific length of time that they can hold on to the stock before they have to let it go?
With everything, there's legislation that covers absolutely everything. So fresh fish, frozen fish, and each of the people who work in those areas would know about it. There's a lot of training through BIM that's available. There's a lot of information that's available for people who are in the industry, and they will know on the shelf lives that they have and the amount of time that they can put things into storage. So if they put things waiting for market into freezers, they'll know what the shelf lives are and they'll be very, very aware of that.
What's being done to inspect to make sure like that they're adhering to all those measures?
They'll be the same as the food safety legislation. It's one of the key areas we do. Any kind of food fraud, as we know from some of the big food fraud scandals in Ireland, will undermine everybody who's working in the industry. So it's a really key part of our work to make sure that if something says it's 3 months old, it is 3 months old. If it's frozen and if it's fresh and sold as fresh, that it hasn't been frozen and thawed out, that it is what it says on the label. So that's part of the food safety work that we do. And we also will just make sure, one of the key things we want to make sure is if you're buying Irish fish, it is Irish fish. We're finding very, very low rates of non-compliance, so they're a very compliant industry and very aware of their reputation.
Noel Sweeney with Susan Steele and Adrienne Patterson of the Sea Fisheries Protection Agency. And one criticism Irish trawlers have of the system is that they say French and Spanish trawlers aren't subject to the same regulations in their own ports in their own countries as Irish trawlers are in Ireland. Away from COVID-19, the Irish coast is littered by shipwrecks. We have one just recently in Ballycotton, but there are many thousands more. You can explore them on your laptop from home by the internet, but our regular contributor, Hugh Orm, has been looking at some of the shipwrecks in Dublin Bay for us.
If you walk along the delightful seafront walk at Sandymount in South Dublin and gaze out at the waters of Dublin Bay between Howth and Dunlera, all seems deceptively calm and tranquil. Yet if you were to dive down to the seabed of Dublin Bay, you'd find an entirely different story, one that reflects the many hazards of the maritime industry, especially in its earlier years. For something like 400 wrecks litter the seabed in Dublin Bay, although few of them are intact at this stage. Around the entire coast of Ireland, there are an astonishing number of shipwrecks, something like 3,000 in total. The vast number of wrecks around the Irish coast, including those in Dublin Bay, are chronicled in the government-published Shipwreck Inventory of Ireland. In that part of the Irish Sea, close to the approaches to Dublin Bay, there are many navigational hazards, such as submerged rocks and reefs, as well as offshore sandbanks. The mouth of the River Liffey used to be very difficult to navigate before the invention of modern navigational technology. Dublin Bay has sand flats on either side of the narrow entrance to the River Liffey. And at low tide, the entrance to Dublin Port is marked by a sandbar, the Dublin Bar, which makes navigation particularly difficult at low tide. Most of the shipwrecks on the seabed of Dublin Bay were lost during stormy weather conditions. A big hazard that wasn't overcome until the later 19th century came when steel ousted wood as the main construction material for ships. And very often the ships lost were driven onto the shoreline where they then broke up. Sandymount Strand may look deceptively inviting on the southern shores of Dublin Bay, but in earlier centuries many vessels were driven onshore there before their timbers broke up into often fragmentary pieces. Shipwrecks in Dublin Bay varied widely from dugout boats to small fishing boats and coastal trading vessels. Records of all these shipping disasters didn't start happening until around 1700. And before that, shipwrecks in Dublin Bay went almost entirely unrecorded. In one of the greatest storms in the 19th century, in October 1861, over 100 ships were either wrecked or stranded around the coast of Ireland, many in Dublin Bay. On the official database of wrecks around the Irish coast, over 10,000 shipwrecks have been identified, and experts say that eventually that total could end up at well over 15,000. The work in identifying all those wrecks, including those in Dublin Bay, is carried on by such organisations as the Geological Survey of Ireland and the Marine Institute. The entire project of mapping Ireland's marine territory is the most ambitious in the world, and it's expected that in about 6 years' time, Ireland will be the first country in the world to have its maritime territory completely mapped. Wrecks over a century old are protected, and wrecks that are under a century old can also be protected, such as that of the Lusitania off the County Cork coast. One of the most spectacular wrecks close to Dublin was that of the Taylor, which ran aground off Lambay Island on the North County Dublin coast in 1854. She was described as the Titanic of her time. She was sailing from Britain to Australia, but this ironclad ship had one fatal flaw. The iron in her hull affected her compasses, and the ship ended up being driven ashore on Lambay Island with a loss of 370 lives. And undoubtedly the greatest disaster ever to happen in Dublin Bay was the loss of the RMS Leinster near the Kish Lightship at the entrance to Dublin Bay in 1918, just as the First World War came to an end. When she sank, there were 501 fatalities. Most were Irish soldiers going to fight on the Western Front, just as the First World War was finishing. She sank incredibly quickly in just 8 minutes. And the Leinster is one of the few wrecks in Dublin Bay that's still virtually intact, lying in about 30 metres of water, just about 20 kilometres from the Dublin Bay shoreline. One of the innumerable smaller wrecks in Dublin Bay is a ship that began life as a drifter in Scotland in 1907. She was a small boat, grossing 100 tonnes. During the First World War, she was converted into an anti-submarine gunboat. And while she was on patrol in Dublin Bay in August 1918, she collided with another ship off the Muglins, close to Dalkey. She's lying upright in about 35 metres of water and is almost totally intact. But she remained undiscovered for many years and wasn't found until 30 years ago. One of the strange anomalies about all the wrecks in Dublin Bay is that improvements in navigational and sailing skills meant that the great catalogue of sinkings in Dublin Bay really came to an end after the First World War. One of the recent rare shipwrecks in Dublin Bay was that of a B&I line container ship called the Kilkenny. It sank in November 1991 when it was heading into Dublin port. It collided with another container ship that was on charter to the B&I line, the Hasselwerder. The collision happened just off Poolbeg. The Kilkenny was hulled amidship and went down very quickly with the loss of three crew. Salvage work began very quickly within 2 months, and the wreck was cut up into three pieces that were brought by barge to the North Quay extension, where the metal was cut up for scrap. Up to the early years of the 20th century, shipwrecks in Dublin Bay were a very commonplace occurrence, but since then they've fortunately become much fewer, and everyone in the maritime industry hopes that'll remain the case.
Thanks to Hugh Orm. And that's it for Seascapes for this week. We're back at the same time next Friday. Everything on the programme is podcast. It's on our website, rte.ie/seascapes. If you want to contact me or the programme, the email is seascapes@rte.ie. If you're lucky enough to be anywhere near the water over the next week, be safe.